So Mayor Brown, big news to begin with. After lots of back and forth and sometimes contentious negotiations, it looks as though there's a pension deal on the table for the city. Your office and the Police and Fire Pension Fund coming to terms late last night on this package. Tell us about the deal.
Well, thank you, Melissa. It's a great opportunity for the city. We work together, all stakeholders involved. This deal will save taxpayers estimated $1.5 billion over 30 years. It's an agreement where there's shared sacrifice, where you have from police and fire all sharing in this whole deal. So one, we have a new governance structure that's going to focus on accountability, transparency, in place, which we think is important. Two, we have a new plan for new hirees which we thought was important to make sure that, one, they will be able to contribute to their retirement plan. Two, adjustment in the COLA. Three, it would be financially strong for the city in terms of going forward. The other thing is getting the current employees to contribute 10% to the plan contribution. That was important. So really a shared sacrifice all the way around. You know, we didn't get into this situation overnight. It took years to get here. This is a long-term, viable, sustainable plan for the city.
Right. And so current employees contributing more, future employees will have a new understanding of what their obligations and benefits are. This agreement still has to go before the council and the fund board. Let me ask your reaction right off the bat to both the task force that worked on this issue and the Jacksonville Civic Council when asked for their reaction to the deal. They expressed hope and optimism this will work out, but said that they still think it could have gone even farther, that it didn't go far enough to bring down costs. What's your reaction?
Well, two things. One is I think that it's important to remember that you have men and women who are out there on the front line protecting us. They're our heroes. They're the ones who have courage. They'll run in a building to save someone from a fire. You got our police officers on the front line dealing with crime every day. So we got to keep that in mind. The issue is, can we have a plan that would be viable, sustainable, fair to taxpayers, fair to city employees? This plan will do that. And I think that there's accountability in here. There's commitment from both sides.
Let me ask you as well. You have stuck to your campaign pledge of not raising taxes. The task force on this issue has recommended an eventual tax hike to absorb the city's future costs for pensions. Is your position the same on that? And as you campaign for reelection, will you stick to that pledge?
Well, first, let me say about reelection. I mean, I'm not even in reelection mode. I'm literally focusing on running the city. So we have a long time for reelection. On the raising taxes, I'm opposed to raising taxes. You don't have to raise taxes to solve this problem. I think that the city, while we're recovering, we're doing well, we're moving in the right direction, more jobs, more people are working. When I came in, the unemployment rate was 11%. It's now 6%. We still have a lot of people who are hurting out there. We still have challenges. We don't have to raise taxes. I'm totally opposed against taxes.
How will the city come up with the additional $40 million that you think you'll have to kick in?
So in this agreement, we will have the $40 million for this year. As it was laid out, the police and fire is given over $100 million over the next several years. We will have a committee. Unfunded liability committee, which consists of the city's auditor, the chief financial officer, the budget director, the CAO, the CFO, with JEA, all the stakeholders in charge. They will come up with a recommendation every year and report to the president, city council, and the mayor.
And lots of calls already for Mayor Alvin Brown. We'll go to your calls in a moment. The number to join the show at 549-2937. You are here with a guest today. It's Terrell Hogan, attorney Wayne Hogan. Both of you wanted to take a few minutes to talk about Waterproof Jacks, a city program, Wayne, that teaches kids to swim. Life-saving program. Wayne, tell us about Waterproof Jacks.
It's so awfully important to see the children learn how to swim. Every couple of weeks, it seems, we read about a child who drowned or almost drowned and perhaps was injured for the rest of their life as a result. And this has been going on for years. The mayor, by coming up with the waterproof Jacksonville plan that's already been in place but is now being doubled this year, he was ahead of the curve. The Centers for Disease Control, in just yesterday's Times Union, they reported about underprivileged children, particularly African-Americans, who don't learn to swim and die as a result. And so this community is stepping up and making a difference. The author of that study said yesterday, swimming is a life-saving skill. It's not just a sport. And you've seen it, we've seen it, and we're taking steps to change that by providing swimming lessons.
Right. You're sponsoring this, Wayne, your firm. You're going to pay for an entire elementary school this year to take lessons.
We are. We're doubling the number that will receive lessons this year. What we need is the help. You have such a fantastic listenership that's engaged in this community in a big way. And what we really need is for them to step up as well, your listeners, to help the city, to help these children learn how to swim so as to save their lives.
Mayor Brown, this citywide program, Waterproof Jacks, this will be free swimming lessons in city pools for kids this summer, correct?
Correct. It's very important. You know, Wayne said it best. You know, this is all about saving lives, preventing accidental drowning. It is so important. But it also, swimming, it'll inspire young people. It teaches discipline, focus. It's good for the community. We have great community partners. So we need more private sector investment, but we have not-for-profit partners like the YMCA, Swimming Safari Swim School, Safety First, the Police Athletic League. We have a lot of partners working with us. We started off with 250 kids the first year. Last year, we had 750, and this year, we'll do over 1,500 young people learning how to swim for free, thanks to Wayne Hogan and other partners.
How can kids, how can parents sign their kids up for this, and how can people get involved in helping this effort?
Well, they should call 630-CITY or go to our website, www.coj.net, to get involved.
And Wayne, as you said, you're asking other companies, other civic groups to get involved in this effort with you.
Everything's involved in it. Transportation, organization, all of these, there are tremendous organizations that are volunteering to provide the lessons, but it needs to be supported on a financial basis. These things don't happen for free, and they need to be free to these children because they need to be able to swim so that if they get into a situation, they can be safe. They
right.
don't have to become either brain damaged, which certainly happens if they are saved by somebody else, or to save their life.
Florida still ranked first in the nation yes. when it comes to drowning deaths of young kids. So it's clearly a major public health issue for us. Yeah,
it's a major. In fact, Wilson's Children's Hospital is engaged in this through Safe Kids Northeast Florida. It's one of the partners with the mayor's program here, and it was in fact in today's Times Union about that situation.
And if you've got questions about Waterproof Jacks, pension reform in the city, or whatever's on your mind, now's the time to get on the phone as we welcome in studio Mayor Alvin Brown and Terrell Hogan, Principal Wayne Hogan. Lots of calls already at 549-2937 here on the show. Let's begin with Steve on the south side. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, Mr. Brown and Mr. Hogan. My question has to do with the DROP program. The Times Union did an excellent expose a couple of weeks ago about the very, very high retirement salaries. The elephant in the room was the DROP program. Mayor, you've got employees out there who don't rush into burning buildings, and they're retiring at $120,000 and $130,000 a year. The DROP program will let them walk away after they put this into their retirement account for 5 years, at 8% interest, with upwards to $600,000 and $700,000 as a golden handshake goodbye. I would like you or anyone to explain to me why that program still exists and why it was started to begin with for employees who don't have to worry about bringing in new clients. They don't have to worry about their job ever being outsourced. They will never be transferred. If they work overtime, they get paid for it. why this outrageous golden handshake at the end of 20, 25, or 30 years.
And that's,
I'd like to stay on the line.
That's Steve on the South Side. Mayor Brown, the DROP program, it's my understanding some changes are going to be made in the future. Can you talk about the DROP program?
Well, the DROP program, that was part of the 30-year agreement. And so, again, you know, the goal is to really make sure that we have a viable plan for retirement reform. In our plan, the 8.4% was changed, the guarantee was changed to a floor of 5%, and this plan capped at 10%. So we did make changes there. That was very important to do in this retirement plan.
Under DROP, too, employees that take the Deferred Retirement Option Program or DROP, they are not eligible for Social Security, correct?
Correct.
So this is sort of a substitute for Social Security.
Exactly.
Okay. Steve, I hope that answers your question.
Well, actually, it didn't, Ms. Ross.
Okay,
my
go ahead.
My question is, why does this plan even exist? And, Mayor, I will tell you, if you want to give me $700,000, I give you my word I will not ask for Social Security the rest of my life. My question is, why does this program still exist?
And as you said a minute ago, this agreement was forged a few decades ago. It goes back quite some time.
Right. That's the whole issue. You know, the 30-year agreement, lawsuits, counter lawsuits. And the goal was always to really solve this problem.
And let me ask you this.
Task force plan, you know, it was from 0 to 10%. And you know, you got to negotiate, you got to have that sheer sacrifice. So we got it to, 5%, as a floor and 10% as a cap.
So some changes to DROP. And,
sure.
And doesn't this agreement also change the structure of future negotiations, putting it more squarely in the hands of the city and the unions,
correct,
not the police and fire pension fund?
Correct. It's the structure, and that's the governance part of it. That it now in the future, the negotiations will be between police and fire unions and the city versus the pension fund.
Questions and calls for Mayor Alvin Brown and Attorney Wayne Hogan, whether you want to know about the pension system or enroll your kids in free swimming lessons this summer. We want your calls, 549-2937. Antonia on the north side. Antonia, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Mayor Brown, I have a question about quality of air in Jacksonville. And the question has to do with this horrible, pungent odor that is along I-95 from the airport straight through Edgewood Avenue and focusing quite much on that section of the expressway near Dunn Avenue. And it's also permeating into some of the businesses in their area. It's very reminiscent of the time that Mayor Tommy Hazuri took the initiative and had the courage to challenge businesses about what they were contributing to this negative quality of air. And
are you talking about the old paper mills?
Well, that's probably one. I didn't want to call businesses. I didn't want to identify any. But it, whatever was contributing to the smell, it helped our city to become known as the city that smells.
All right.
And so he helped to clean up that.
And you're saying that you're saying it's back? You're saying it's back?
It's back.
Okay.
It is back. And it's becoming more pungent. And I want to know what the mayor can do to address this issue.
Antonia, thanks for the call. Actually, Wayne, you want to jump in?
Well, I was just going to say it is the case. She's correct that back at the time that Mayor Hazuri was there, they took on, he appointed W.C. Gentry as a special prosecutor, and they put into place some controls. Those changed Jacksonville in a gigantic way with regard to the odor that came from the pulp and paper mills that were in place. You still have that ordinance in place. What you really are talking about is people calling, just as our caller called in here, calling the city, reporting that, because there are rules in place that this is a matter of enforcement, but people need to let the city know when they are dealing with that situation, when they're finding it in their neighborhood, so that it can be investigated and taken care of.
So they need to call that number,
630-CITY, and inform us.
Yeah, and so, Antonia, I would encourage you to follow up and do that. George on the west side is on the line. Hi, George. Good morning. Go ahead, George.
Thanks for taking the call. Mayor Brown, I appreciate your opposition to taxes. And last year, the city council passed a tax increase, which you did not veto. So my question is, if they pass a tax increase this year to fund the pension plan, will you veto it or just let it go into law like happened last year?
Well, you know, this year, first of all, I'm opposed to taxes, so I want to say that. And I think this year, you know, first of all, that first plan was a good plan. It was a viable plan. So I don't want to get into hypotheticals, but I do know that this plan that we presented, tentative agreement on yesterday, should be viable for the city.
If the council does come back and say we've got to do a sales tax or a half-cent sales tax increase, will you veto that?
Well,
or
I'm opposed to taxes, so we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
You lean toward a veto, it sounds like?
I just, you know, I've made a history of not trying to dictate what council should do. They have the right to make any decision they want to, but I've staked out my position.
Let's go to Adila on Blanding Boulevard. Calls from across the listening area this morning. Adila, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Adila. I'm from Afghanistan. My question is different. My English not good. I'm so sorry, but I try my best to speak with you guys. First of all, I'm sorry. This is probably different question. I'm from Afghanistan. I lost my 12 relatives over there. Now I'm citizen in United States. We are very happy we live here. And Taliban wants to kidnap my sister. She is 27 years old. Nobody can help me. I called the mayor's office, and I spoke with immigration. I spoke with Catholic Charity. I'm so tired. Please help me. Tell me how come I bring my sister out.
Oh, Adila, I'm so sorry to hear this.
Yes, I'm so sad. I was a teacher here. I was a preschool teacher in Los Angeles. For economy, we moved here in Florida. Now they want to kidnap my sister. I don't know what can I do, where I have to go, because I lost my brother. He was 22 years old. They killed my uncle. They killed my cousin. Now I'm in bad situation here. I tried to bring her out as soon as possible. Immigration says 12 years. Catholic Charity says we cannot do it. Lawyer says we cannot do it. I'm looking for my beautiful and handsome and lovely mayor. Please help me. I am so sad now.
Adila, I'm so sorry to hear that you're having this issue. And she's right. Mayor Brown, we have another attorney here in studio. She needs to go to federal immigration officials, but it sounds as though she's having trouble getting any traction.
Yeah, I think maybe we can have Senator Nelson to work with her and immigration. So she should call 630-1776 and ask for Michelle Barth in my office. And Michelle Barth would be the person that connect her to Senator Nelson's team.
Great suggestion, yeah. And Adila, stay on the line. Our phone screener will get your number and connect you with Senator Nelson, okay? Can you do that for us?
I spoke with her. I have a file over there. I send them by internet, my sister, all information. Please tell her to help me. Just
okay.
Help me. I don't want to lose my sister. She's a beautiful teacher over there.
All right, Adila, don't hang up. Don't hang up, Adila. We're going to get you on the line with someone right away. Don't hang up, okay? Thank you for the call, and best of luck. And let's put Adila on with our phone screener so that we can help her with her issue. Meanwhile, we do have lots of other phone callers waiting on hold to connect this morning. Let's go to Richard on the west side. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Mayor Brown, I know you believe that the $43 million investment in swimming pools at the stadium and giant scoreboards has economic benefit, but I wonder if there would be other, perhaps other better uses of it. I mean, these pools are only available to the VIP high-rolling people buying expensive tickets at the stadium maybe 10 times a year. Wouldn't it have been better to take that $43 million and invest in a downtown aquatic facility that could be used 365 days a year by everybody and also be used for national and international swimming meets And furthermore, to emphasize Mr. Hogan's point, it could also be used to make sure every kid in Jacksonville knows how to swim.
All right, Richard, thanks for the call. Getting questions about all kinds of things this morning. What about his question, Mayor Brown, and then Wayne?
Well, I think just to give people a little history, in order for Jacksonville to have an NFL team, part of the agreement was back then was to provide and make a commitment to enhance all improvements at the stadium. It's the city's responsibility. And so to upgrade and enhance the stadium, we committed to $43 million. That's generated from the revenues from for the city that is already dedicated to the stadium. So, and Shad Khan put up $20 million of his own personal money on a city property that the city owns. I think it's the right investment. We have to continue to invest in our city. We get a huge economic impact from the Jaguars, not only just visibility globally, all the marketing, but a lot of things have come in a positive way to the city with the Jaguars. The owners, Wayne and Dolores Weaver, have invested so much in this city because of the Jaguars being here, giving out hundreds of millions of dollars to the community on education, investing in initiatives that is so important for the quality of life in our city, from the Children's Commission to the Children's Hospital to the bridge to high schools. It is a huge, huge.
You think it's worth the millions? And even though critics have said it's too lavish, especially people tend to focus on the swimming pools at the stadium.
It's changed. You know, we're in the 21st century now. You have to attract people to come to the game. You have to diversify your portfolio. It's all about entertainment, and that's part of it. Giving the season ticket holders something to enjoy. So. You know, it's all about that public-private partnership. It was a right investment. It was the right thing to do.
Wayne.
One thing that I failed to mention is that this program is now in cooperation with Duval County Public Schools. For example, the specific place is Woodland Acres Elementary, where there is a pool and available. And the more people that participate in this program and help with it, the more of the schools around Jacksonville. It's a great organizing point to reach kids and the pools that are related to the school system. And so it's being done, and it's being done with public facilities, but we need private assistance.
That's right. And you have put your money where your mouth is. You're funding this, and you're putting a call to action out right now to get other companies, other individuals to join you.
No program that I know of has a more community-spirited listenership than you do. And we really hope that they will participate in this and tell their friends, gee, you can directly save someone's life by your action because they know how to swim as a result of your contribution.
It's Waterproof Jacks, the new initiative we had initially planned to talk about. I'm glad we could still talk about it. But, of course, news always intervenes. Lots of calls today as well about the pending pension deal for the city of Jacksonville. And again, this must go before the council and the police and fire pension fund as well, correct?
Correct.
They've got to sign off too.
The next step there will be meeting with the police and fire pension fund board next week. And then from there, it will go to the council and the council will make the decision whether or not to accept it or reject it.
And again, if you're interested in enrolling your child in free swimming lessons through Waterproof Jacks this summer, just go to coj.net or call 630-CITY. Mayor Brown, Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Firm, thank you both so much for being on the program. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Melissa.